How about that one? There we go. Cute little video of dads. Today, being Father's Day, and you know, us preachers, we like to speak a little bit about fathers. But you know, when I was thinking and looking at this and preparing, y'all begin to think that, you know, anyone that is a male could be a father. We know we're not going to go into all the science of that, but we have a lot of fathers that are out there that are absent, or fathers who are present. You know, anyone can be a father, and we would even say out there that there are some that are good fathers. But what I'd like for us to look at today is how to be the best father in the galaxy. Guys, speaking to you and ladies this morning, today's message, the best father in the galaxy, I want to give you some characteristics or some examples of what it is to be the best father. Some of you may say in here, I'm not a father. Well, maybe one day you will be. Some of you might say, I've had children, they're all grown now. Well, guess what? You're still a father. And there's still an opportunity to set an example. Some of us are in that fathering age right now, and the Bible has a lot to say about that. And ladies, we need you to come alongside as a helpmate and help us be the best father. So for that, I want you to know what it is to be the best father as well. If you'll take your Bibles and open them to 1 Thessalonians, we'll be getting there in a moment. We're going to be looking at a writing by the Apostle Paul. We know the Apostle Paul was one of the great apostles. And even out of all the 27 books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is accredited with writing 14 of those books. He's accredited with writing more of the books of the New Testament than anyone else. And we're going to take a look at what Paul had to say to this church in Thessalonica. This church was in Thessalonica, which was the Roman capital of Macedonia. We've heard of that in the Bible and in that area. And he had visited this area on his second missionary journey, and then later he'd got a report about the church, and he was writing back to that church, and he was teaching them, and he teaches us that we can trust the character of God. Amen? We can trust the character of God, and we can trust the gospel. If you would stand with me as we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll be beginning in verse 9. Paul's writing, and he says, "For you recall, brethren," referring back to his trip when he was there, "our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as to not be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Father God, this morning I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you how your word is timeless. It is always truth. It has always been truth. It always will be truth. And Father, how you have graciously allowed us to have a copy. And Father, many in America have many copies of your word. Thank you for that privilege. Father, today may we take it and see what it is that you have to say. Father, as I stand here today, Lord, I surrender myself to you. And Father, I pray that you would speak to me, and that Father, I would be your messenger, and I would speak your word and what your Bible has to say, and not what I have to say. Father, would you tune all of our ears into Holy Spirit? Would you soften our hearts, Lord, that we may respond to you? And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This idea of being a father is something that is very great. God chose certain men to be fathers. But men, let me tell you what the responsibility it is that we have to be a father is we are a direct example of God the Father. We see in the beginning that God created man and woman. He didn't put two men together in the Bible. He didn't put two women together. He didn't put any other sorts of things together. He took one man and he took one woman and he put them together and he told them to multiply and to fill the earth. And then he gave the responsibility of rearing up children, bringing them up. But our responsibility as men is we are representing the Godhead, the God the Father. We are representing a father in a relationship as the one that represents this order that God has created. We as men have a responsibility to teach our children what it is that Christianity is, what it is to be a follower of God. We have a responsibility, just as God the Father, to protect and to nourish and to take care of our wives and our children that God has blessed us with. Let me tell you, there is no child on the face of this earth that happened by an accident. It might have been an accident of the mother and the father, but it was not an accident of God. There is no child that God did not create. And at the moment of conception, God created a very unique individual. I didn't have this in my notes, but I want to just tell you, I remember one time in college happening to do a speech in a class, and one of them was over the idea of a controversial subject. And of course, oh me, chose abortion. But why I bring that up, I want to show you how uniquely God creates people. Did you know that at the moment a young lady is born, every egg that she will ever have is already inside of her body? God creates us special and unique, and they are a gift. And we have that responsibility of setting that up. So, fathers, here is one of some of these characteristics I want us to look at. The first thing I want us to look at is a father's behavior toward his children. There is a responsibility, men, that we have in raising children, in setting an example not only for our children, but for people around us. And we see that very clearly at verse 10. It says, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers." Believers would have been the children, as we might say, of Paul. We know this letter was written by Paul. Verse 1 says it was Paul and Silas and Timothy. They had been there through that missionary journey. They composed this letter and sent it back. But what is he talking about? These great words that we see in Scripture that, oh, we see them and we just read right over them. Well, to understand how we need to behave toward our children, I want to just take a moment and go over these three words here as a father's behavior or how we should act to children. The first one there is the word devoutly. It is talking about in the manner or characteristics of moral or ritual purity. Men, we have a responsibility that when we're married to a woman that we live before our children a rite that is devoutly. We're not to be immoral. We're not to have affairs. We're not to be living with other people. Our children are looking to us to set the example. And we have the responsibility because I will tell you, in the flesh, God created men to have a desire for women. Men, we have eyes that we need to control, and we need to keep eyes for our spouse and our spouse only. It's a responsibility that we have to teach, and we have to instill, and we have to be the example. We have to lead by this example, and it's not one of just a life that's free for all for me, and all about me, but it's living in a manner that is morally correct in God's eyes. You know, number one, if we were to take a woman out of the picture, and we were to take children out of the picture, I believe this is still characteristics of a godly man and even a godly woman, because we are in the eyes of God and He is looking at us and we are His example, men. We are His ambassador. So we need to be behaving toward our children in this manner that is morally correct with God. We're to teach them. We're to set the example. We're to live before them what a moral life is. Because let me tell you, the mind that we have when we're born into flesh, into sin, our mind and our desires are against God. It's not something we have to learn. I think I've probably mentioned this before. Have you ever watched a little child as he grows? You don't have to teach him how to be selfish. You don't have to teach him how to lie. You don't have to teach him how. It just comes natural. So we have a responsibility of making our children holy before God by setting this example of living devoutly, because we have to teach them, because godly life is in contradiction to what the world says. Godly life is in a battle against what Satan says, and we have to teach and we have to accept that example. It also says that we are to be upright. We're to be fair, just, and righteous. We're to be righteous in our behavior. We're to be fair in how we deal with our children. We're to be fair and righteous how we deal outside of the home, how we deal in the workplace. All of these things that go on in our life, children are watching, and we're to be setting the example. We're to be behaving to them. We're not to have favorites. I know none of you have favorite children. We all say we don't, and we're just going to stick with that, okay? But we're to live a life that's above that. And how we act at home should be the same way we act outside the home. Or let me bring it this way. Let me reverse that. How we act outside the home, how we act in the church, should be the same as we act behind the closed doors at the home. We have a responsibility. They're looking to us. I don't have the statistics. I don't know that I'm as much into those as other people are. But you know that a father who is active in a home and brings his family to church, the percentage of children that receive Christ are far, far higher than those who have an absent father. Or those who have a father, but he just doesn't come to church. But it also says that to be blameless, have integrity. What I say is the same thing I do. How I act is a lifestyle of who I am in Christ. We have that responsibility. Let me read to you, if you want to turn with me just back to the left a bit, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul was writing and he said these words, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness, in godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially towards you." We have integrity. That means we're the same inside and out. We're the same behind closed doors. Men, we're the same in a room by ourselves at night in the dark. We're the same when we're away on a business trip as we are at home. We live a life of moral example before our children. It's the way that we behave because they're watching. Do you know that children often reflect their parents? You know, sometimes we see a child and, you know, and even sometimes it wakes me up when I see guys like, "You see what Waylon's doing? How Waylon's acting?" I might need to go look in the mirror. Because they duplicate. They want to be like us. They love us just like we love the Father. So we have a responsibility in how we behave toward our children, because we are the example. We are the one that they're going to see God through us. And let me tell you, the life that we live can set an example. It can make it easy for one to come to Christ, or it can make it very difficult. I know people who it's difficult for them to understand when I talk about a good father, because their father wasn't a good father. But we know that God the Father is the perfect Father. He is the example of love. But it's hard in our minds to do that. So we have to live out this being devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly. Another way we could look at this blameless is in a manner free of guilt or in an unreproachable way. We're to live a life that our kids can't judge us. We're to live a life that the world can't judge us. You see, God can judge us, but where do you want to stand in that judgment? So we must live and behave in a certain way toward our children to set that example. The second thing I'd like for us to look at is a father's leadership toward his children. We have a responsibility not on the way we behave to our children, because the way we behave to our children sets for them the example of God as we are his messengers, but we also have a responsibility to lead our children. You know, God didn't give us children just to give us something to do. God didn't give us children just to wear us down. God didn't give us children just to spend all of our money on them. He gave us to them as a responsibility. You know what? God has given them to us on loan. And we're to be good stewards of the gift, the precious gift that God has given as children. And we have a responsibility as the example of Christ to lead them. Just like people like good leadership in the business world, we need good leadership in the home. Look back there at 1 Thessalonians in verse 11. It says, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and employing each one of you as a father would his own children. What are these words meaning? How can we take them and put them into practice in our life? Well, exhorting is strongly encouraging. It's a military term. Often Paul would use athletics or military. In the military, it was someone that would come along and encourage a soldier. Let me tell you, soldiers need encouraging, amen? Can you imagine? I can't. I'm so thankful for those men and women who have served our country. But back when they were calling up men and forcing them to go to war, you were taking young boys, basically, right at that age and putting a gun in their hand and sending them out to fight a battle. They were scared. I know I would have been. There are people to encourage them. Well, guess what? As our children grow up in this world, do you not think they're scared? I'm an adult and I'm scared sometimes in this world. But we come along and we encourage them, and we have to encourage them. Why? They've got to try new things. You know, it's no, Daddy, I'm not going to do that. I'm scared. Come on, son, you can do it. Come on, son, you can do it. And eventually he comes, well, Daddy, come look at what I can do. And he's all, we need encouragement, amen? We need encouragement as adults as we go through this life. We have a responsibility to encourage them. This word can also mean to come alongside. You know, I think one thing Waylon loves when I come home is he wants me to come alongside and he hugs him. He wants to go and play. We have a responsibility. It's men that are still working. It's not to go work all day. We have that responsibility to work and provide for our children, but then we don't come home and just throw our feet up. Sorry, Nicole, I know I do that sometimes. But there's a little one there that's wanting and needing, and we've got to come alongside them. We've got to encourage them to keep moving and go through this life. We've got to encourage them in finding out what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to move forward. We're there to encourage them when the thunderstorms come and they want to come around us. The next word there is encouraging. I know we kind of use that as what exhorting was. We exhort one another in the church. It's an encouraging. But the word here, encouraging, is to give support, to give confidence or hope, to console and to comfort. Can you see how that's encouraging, is to come alongside them, to support them, to give them hope? You can do it. You can do it. Let's go. We can do it. We come alongside. We encourage them. We've exhorted them. Now we have to come along and we have to comfort them. You know, in life, it's not all easy. Sorry to bust your bubble. Most of you would agree with that. It's not easy. We go through difficult times. I've been there. You've been there. But to come along when that child loses his first race or his friends talk about him for the first time or something happens, we have to come along and comfort them. Why is that? Because we have been comforted by God the Father. We're to be that example of the comforter to the children. We're to come along and to exhort them. And also it says to imploring each one. Now, this one got me. I had to do some studying on this one. And when you look at it, you know I'm not one to normally give you Greek words, but I want you to hear what the Greek word here is, martyroma. It's where we get our word today, martyr. Well, I'm not a martyr, but what do we know about those who were martyrs? They were witnesses. This imploring here is we're to be a witness to our children. We're to testify. We're to call to witness, to solemnly assert something. We can offer firsthand facts. It's our job to teach our children. It's our job to be witnesses that we can get through this life. It's our job to be witnesses of who God is. Because, see, the whole purpose of us creating is to be in a relationship with God, to bring glory and honor to Him. And who better to testify of who God is and what God has done in your life than one who's been changed and the one who is the Father? Do you remember the story? Maybe you have heard it, maybe you've not, but there's a story in the gospel according to Luke that we call the rich man and Lazarus. And let me just explain this story to you a little bit. There was a rich man and there was a beggar. The beggar's name was Lazarus. And all he wanted to do was to just get crumbs from the rich man's table, and he wouldn't even let him do that. He was so poor, the dogs would come and lick his sores. Well, the Bible tells us one day the rich man and Lazarus both died. The angels come and took Lazarus. The rich man went to hell. And he was a witness to what hell is. Let me read to you just two quick verses. Luke 16 verses 27 and 28, the rich man is speaking. There's talking about this chasm that's fixed back and forth. And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." See, he was a martyr. He was a witness. He was testifying to where he was. We have a responsibility to our children to testify about where we are, to testify about life, to teach them this testify about God, but I believe it's testify about life. Life is not easy, but we get through it with God's grace. Testify what life is. We have a responsibility to testify that the Bible says marriage is between one man and one woman. We have a responsibility to testify that we have a right of how we work at work. We don't steal. We don't murder. These are things that we have to testify to because we found the truth in the Bible, because that's how we are to live. So you see, fathers, not only do we have a way that we're to behave toward our children and that we have a way that we lead our children, but why? That is work. Let me tell you what, to live the lifestyle God calls us requires work, but it's not a burden because God gives us the ability to live this life, and it's a blessing. So when we go through all this, why do we want to do all this? That's where I'd like to end today, is there is a father's reward. There is a father's reward. Look at verse 12, and there's two main things I want to pick out of this. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Why do we behave a certain way so that they see how a man should behave? Because let me tell you, if you're leaving it to the TV, if you're leaving it to the media, if you're leaving it to the school, if you're leaving it to anybody, they're not going to learn the correct way to live life. our world has gone so far from where it was. Our society has gone so far from where it was. And I've probably said this before, one thing I cannot fathom, or one thing I cannot understand, is we look at today's world and we talk about how bad it is. I've said it, you said it, how could it be any worse? But I want you to think for just a moment. In fact, just look around the room for a moment at the people that are in here. There are godly people in this room, and there are godly people around this world. But we see in the Old Testament that God created a flood because he could only find one, Noah, who was righteous. Or Sodom and Gomorrah couldn't even find five that was righteous. It's been worse than it is today. But I cannot understand how bad that must have been. But I do know that it's probably coming a day that it's just going to get worse and worse. And I believe it's because we have a lot of fathers who are not stepping up and being the godly father that they're supposed to be, because it passes down from generation to generation. Now, I'm not going to stand right here. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you if you do all of these things, then your children are going to turn out perfect. Do you know why? Because that would be a lie, because they have a responsibility and a choice. But according to God's word, and in Proverbs, we read that verse about train up a child. It is a good possibility and a far greater possibility that they will come to love the Lord and to serve him all of their life if we do these things. But if we don't, there's a slim chance to none that they will. Well, what is it that we're doing? We live this life. They can see in us. The reward is, it says, so that they will walk worthy of God. No one walks worthy of God without hearing about God. No one walks worthy of God because in our flesh, none of us are worthy of God. But because of his love for us, he calls us and makes us worthy. And also a father's reward is so that the children may be called into God's kingdom and God's glory. If I was to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not, how many of you would want your child to spend all of eternity in heaven with God and receiving all of God's glory? I would fair to say every one of us would raise our hand. The only way for that to happen is for us men, us fathers, to step up and to behave in front of our children the way they should. Behave in the way we should to our spouses, how we treat our wives, what we say to our wives. Miss Nancy, I'm going to bring you into this just a minute. I hope you don't mind. Remember at Mr. Kenneth's funeral, talked about he would tell you, you open a door for your wife, right? We treat our women with respect, because let me tell you, the world doesn't preach that. The world treats that women are objects, and they're not. And we have to teach our children. We have a responsibility as men to teach our sons how to be men, but we have a responsibility to teach our women how they are supposed to be treated, because if we don't, they won't know. We want them to come to know Christ. We want them to walk in a manner worthy of God. We want our children to be called into salvation, into God's kingdom, and to receive his glory. Let me just read to you out of 1 Peter 5:10. I think it's on the screens. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Do you want that for your children? You want God to perfect them, to confirm them, to strengthen them, and to establish them? Then we have the responsibility with how we behave and how we lead our children. As I began, anyone can be a father. But my prayer is that we are the best fathers in the galaxy. And if we do this, we will be the best fathers in the galaxy, because we will be a model. We will be a reflection of the greatest father, and that's Father God. Amen. We honor you. We serve you today, fathers. I want you to know that your church loves you. Mount Olivet loves you. We're here to do whatever we can because let me tell you, it takes each of us to come alongside each other. Fathers, it takes us to find another man to come alongside and to walk with us, because what I've described right here is probably one of the most difficult things to do, because Satan knows if I can get the father, I can get the rest of the house. So in just a moment after I pray, we're going to have a time of invitation. Men, I encourage you to call out to the Father if you want to come and kneel and ask God to pour his favor and his blessing on you. Maybe you're here today, and in your heart, you would have to say, I've not been a very good example of being a father. Guess what? You're in the right place. None of us have. Our God, the Father, loves us so much. His grace is new every day. All we have to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. He'll forgive you. And guess what? We can start today. It's never too late. I don't care how old your children are. You still have a responsibility for those children until you've died or until they've died. Women, I want to encourage you, pray for your husbands. Pray for the men that you know who are fathers. We're on attack. There's a target on our back. To pray during this time for them, that how you can encourage them, how you can support them. You can pick up these same behaviors as well in teaching your children. But for the men, as soon as we finish today, you know we always like to give our fathers a little bit of something. If you are a man or a male in this room, it means you either are a father, have been a father, or one day you might be a father. This is hard stuff, so we want to give you a kick start with that. We've got two little things of Louisiana Tabasco sauce, came directly from Avery Island, and a little meat stick that's got some spice in it so you can spice up your life, and we can get out there and we can be on fire for God. Amen. May you bow your heads this morning.